Okay, I want to take you on a little journey, short one, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's what I heard in my heart this afternoon, and I want to do my best to obey as to give you understanding about who we are. And I can say that sometimes we look at ourselves and we only see the clay. We don't see the eternal one on the interior. We don't value our spirit reality, our spirit man. And I had quite a conversation with my granddaughter, great-granddaughter, on Saturday night, and on the way home after church on Sunday. Her understanding of, you know, her life at the moment is very involved in emotions and highs and lows, and she's all of 11, so she's going on 22 right now. So we're waiting patiently for the next level to come. But having her understand that we're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body, was quite difficult for her to comprehend. But with a little understanding, a little grace, a little compassion, she was able to catch on that we're more than just this outer shell. And St. Paul gives us some pretty sweet wisdom about that in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. Starting at verse 1, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Every man has a conscience. Every woman has a conscience. And what he's saying is, your conscience has a voice. And if you're going in the wrong direction, it's time to change it. And if somebody tries to dictate to you, it might be resentful. But I've had to deal with many people today with all kinds of backgrounds. But I find that if you listen to your inner man, the intelligence, the wisdom will come, and then a strategy will come to change whatever needs to be changed. And you're not going to fool God, obviously, because he knows it all. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? So it's in the sight of God. Verse 3. "And even if our gospel or our good news is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the good news," or the gospel, "of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So, if you're going to try to convince a sinner that he's sinning, tell me how well you're going to do.
You will fall flat on your face.
Because sinners are accustomed to sinning and don't disturb their act. Mm-hmm. Amen? But if you pray and intercede for them as the Lord leads, what happens?
The Holy Spirit works on them.
Holy Spirit does a work on the inside of their conscience. Mm-hmm. He speaks to them, and they will have an opportunity to say yes or no. And God will respect that decision. Verse 5. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants. For Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in my heart or our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Back that one up. 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. That's in Genesis 13, by the way.
1:3.
Huh?
Genesis 1, verse 3.
Genesis 1? Oh, you're right. Genesis 1, verse 3. Thank you. That's why you're sitting there tonight.
I know.
Now, you noticed that. Okay. Made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. If you can really understand that one verse, it'll change your future. Because it's not going to be all about how much you perform, how well you do this or that. But on the inside of this jar of clay, the power from God works in multiples of levels. And if you're like me, you get impatient. You like the results yesterday. But there were times that it took years for me to grow up in certain corners. And you know, people say, oh, I got it made. And you say, oh, I hope the Holy Ghost is on the job here. Mm-hmm. Because if you've got it all made, you're better than me, because I don't. I still have areas that I'm still working with.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit doesn't give up on me. Verse 8 says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. In other words, there's an available radiation of light coming from God's Holy Ghost, capable of shining through you and me, that will expose the darkness and irritate the darkness. And I've shared that with you before. Verse 11. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in us, or in you. If you dissect that particular verse, you're going to find that there's a war inside of every single one of those jars of clay, meaning you and me. And there's that ongoing struggle to allow the Lord to be the ruler and not to allow the emotions and the feelings or the pain or whatever else that you may be warring against, or the bad thoughts that might come in trying to direct your mouth to speak garbage. If you're like me, you're reactionary, and sometimes I do better than others. There were times that I get caught and the emotions take me for a ride. And then, of course, I have to ask God to forgive me, because, you know, he forgives. But sometimes it's wise to wake up a little bit and realize that you've done some damage.
Today.
Oh, I'm glad I have a sister here. I'm not feeling sorry for you, by the way.
No,
I hope you got over it well. Go to verse 13. It is written, I believe, therefore, I have spoken. with that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. I had a discussion just a few days back with someone who just lost an individual that's very dear. And the discussion was on this subject. Well, how do you know, Kim? Well, you know it by the Lord's word. If you go by emotions, I haven't died yet. I've died to myself, but I haven't died literally. I have left my body, but my body was still alive. My body was still functioning. So, when I explained that and made that clear, that the Holy Spirit is not going to leave you the minute you leave your body. He's going to go with you. He is that deposit of God that's returning to God. He's going to take you on the journey that you're on. And some of it will be difficult. Some of it will be, let's say, challenging. But he's not leaving you. He's even going to present you, should you die, to the Father and bring you before him. He'll be with you even in his presence. And that is something that a lot of believers don't comprehend. They take an anointing on it. They think somebody else's opinion is valuable. But my suggestion is you study this for yourself. Read it for yourself so that you'll understand it. And take it to the bank when the God of heaven confirms it.
He's our guarantee.
Huh?
He's our guarantee.
He's your guarantee. Exactly right. Verse 15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people will cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. That grace, by the way, is flowing consistently, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's what you learned earlier from Gail. It doesn't stop. And therefore, the thanksgiving is because it's an overflow. It doesn't fill the cup and then stop. It keeps on and keeping on and keeping on. 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Sometimes I don't feel renewed. Sometimes I feel like I'm going deeper into the pit. And if I go by my emotions, my mouth will follow and declare, oh, I'm getting weaker. Well, you've just opened up the door to make yourself even worse than what you were yesterday or today. So it's wise not to repeat your emotions, but to repeat what God says about your circumstance. You may be feeling like outwardly you're wasting away, but your words inwardly and outwardly should be saying, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed and I'm getting better and better, because that grace is still flowing. That grace is not stopping. It's going to continue to get me to the finish line. And even if I get discouraged, I can still declare, I'm doing okay, God's on my case, his angels are on the job, I am not going to be staying with this defeated attitude. Because the defeated attitude will head you into depression. Did you ever meet anybody who's depressed? Mm-hmm. How many pills does it take before they come out of it? Some never come out. Some never come out. Because all they do is they medicate it. And I'm not against medicine now. That's not where I'm going. So don't go there. What I am saying is the Word of God will renew you more than a pill. It's the gospel. You take one of those every day. Maybe three times a day. If you have to, seven times a day. Why? Because you're turning yourself around. Mm-hmm. You're turning your body around. You're turning your emotions around. You're turning your soul from darkness to light. And the one that is most effective is your mouth. And you can check that out with James chapter 3. 17. Verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, when you enter eternity, how long is that good for?
Eternity.
You sure?
That's what it says.
Yeah. If you say to the eternal one, well, I didn't have time to confess. Do you think your deception is going to have any weight?
Nope.
Thank you. You know why? Because his spirit's inside of me right now. He knows how much time I wasted yesterday. He knows how much time I'll waste tomorrow. If you ask him to direct your day tomorrow morning, he might start you off quite early. And you'll be surprised. Your day will be awesome. Because you'll have put spiritual food in before you put the natural breakfast in.
Yes.
If you're wise enough to feed this body so that it can function for 24 hours, be wise that your spirit gets fed. And take the word within in your own self. Read it and read it out loud. It's important. 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. So if you were to just go like this and pull the curtains open, eternity is right here. That's how far it is to open up the realm of the spirit. Right here. If your spiritual eyes open up and your carnal eyes are able to open up, and if you were taking occult lessons, they would teach you how to open up your eyes so that you can see that realm.
Amen.
If you'd never levitated, they'd teach you how to let those demons lift you up. And you'd all be sitting on air. Wouldn't that be awesome? Mm. It would thrill your soul.
Your soul.
But you know what? It wouldn't save you.
That's right.
All it would do is thrill you for the moment. And you know, the scripture is very clear that says that in the last days, there's going to be deceiving forces that are going to be operating with signs and wonders and miracles. And you better discern which one is from God and which one is from hell. Because they're going to both look the same. You know why I know? Listen to Cecil B. DeMille and the Ten Commandments. Moses came with his staff. It became what?
A snake.
His occult leaders came out with their staff. Mm-hmm. They threw it down. It became what?
Snake.
Yeah. See, the enemy knows how to use some of this stuff. There was one difference, obviously. And what I'm trying to tell you is, don't be deceived by a lot of stuff that's on the air, mm-hmm. on television, in movies, in radio. And I would also recommend that you do less TV and more Holy Ghost TV. Try reading for yourself. Try putting some time in with him so that your inner man will be more and more powerful. And you say, well, I don't like reading. Well, I've got news for you. There is CDs available that you can listen to it. And you can listen to the word on a CD or different ways of listening to different programs and different teachings. So there's a lot of equipment out there. Mm-hmm. We're not without.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Bob Arnold has not an ability to read, but his son from California purchased him a unit, some kind of a small unit, and he can listen to the word.
I used to do that with Chuck.
You used to do that with Chuck?
Yeah, the portable CD thing.
Portable, yeah.
And I used to put, also for my aunt, who I was her guardian.
Okay.
She was in a coma, but I would.
You would put it. Mm-hmm. I did with my dad as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just ask you to close your eyes right now. And say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Create the hunger that's needed for me.
Create the hunger that's needed for me.
So that I can be changed.
So that I can be changed.
And I can see.
And I can see.
The eternal purpose.
The eternal purpose.
That you have for me.
That you have for me.
It may be unseen.
It may be unseen.
But it doesn't make it unreal.
But it doesn't make it unreal.
It's still very real.
It's still very real.
I will face my Maker.
I will face my Maker.
On the day appointed.
On the day appointed.
And I'll be able to say.
And I'll be able to say.
I did the best.
I did the best.
That I could.
That I could.
And I will continue.
And I will continue.
To honor you, Lord.
To honor you, Lord.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
The last verse is verse 1 of chapter 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So the one that's not built by human hands is not going to fall apart. Amen?
Amen.
We'll leave it there.